Tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. From the Chicago Fringe Festival, we have Ann Cauley, Larissa Martin, and Leah Squillace. And to join in on all the fun, we have comedian Paul Farvar. But now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, we are broadcasting live.
Thursday night, and it was a spectacularly gorgeous summer day in Chicago. There was a light breeze. It was filled with sunshine. Hope that you had a chance to enjoy some of that. And that I also hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And I know I've encouraged you all to really enjoy the summer as it winds down. I don't want to harp on it. I don't want to make you feel guilty about it. Maybe there were things that you meant to do. I just want to encourage you. I want to remind you that the days are going to start to get shorter, and there's still some beautiful weather ahead of us. But after that, it starts to get a little cold and gloomy. So enjoy it while you can. Also, I want to remind you to check in with our Facebook page. You can go to Patty V Show on Facebook. It is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea is on vacation through Labor Day. We'll see her again on Tuesday. So check in on our Facebook page. Michael Heidemann, executive producer of the show, always makes sure that the podcasts are available pretty much before I even leave the building. So if you miss anything or want to hear something again, you can catch it on our Facebook page. Also on WGNRadio.com as well as iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Patty Vasquez CHI, and just check in with us and say hi. We'd love to hear from you. Esmeralda is in traffic, and I want to talk a little bit about some traffic stuff. I know that Jen DeSalvo, I'm not sure if you mentioned on tonight's news, it was reported last night, Jen DeSalvo at the news desk, of course filling in for Andrea, and the story about how Waze is going to install beacons on Lower Wacker so that your GPS doesn't start to go crazy and tell you to drive into the river. I'm very excited about that. Am I overstating the fact that
you're completely correct,
right?
Yeah, and I agree with you. That's why I was laughing.
It is, because if you go on Lower Wacker, I'm sure there are people who have mastered the routes, the ins and outs of getting along. First of all, if you're on Fairbanks, north of the river, you're like, oh, I'm on Fairbanks. I need to find Columbus. Not realizing that in a few moments, as you head south, you will be on Columbus Drive, which is confusing and disconcerting. And does it go under or over? See, and that's where I start to get confused. Which streets go under and over? Upper Wacker Drive, Lower Wacker Drive. And then there are places where you can be on South Water. And if you want to get to Columbus, you can go west and then make a U-turn onto a ramp and be on. It's just bizarre.
That's very confusing, all those U-turns on the ramps in Upper Wacker, Lower Wacker, Intermediate Wacker.
Yes, there's a Middle Wacker. It's like Hades or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Seven Rings of Hell from Dante?
That's kind of what Wacker drives like.
It does feel that way. Do you have any, I know that we don't really report too much on any traffic issues when it comes to the underbelly of Chicago on this side of the river, or even on the other side of the river. Do you ever have issues with that?
I have no idea what goes on down there. The second I'm down there, I'm like, I don't know where I am now.
It's very disorienting.
Very much so.
Slightly
especially because it's dark. Mm-hmm. Even in the daytime, it's dark.
Right.
So you don't really know which way is which.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you don't want to be down there, not have GPS. And if you're in a Lyft or an Uber and they just keep going around and around, if they're trying to find you to pick you up, they're never going to get there. You just have to, you got to walk to Michigan Avenue and say, pick me up in front of the CVS.
Well, what stinks even more is I've been on a bike down there.
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, I have to climb up some stairs now.
Oh, man.
Because I don't know how to get my bike back upstairs.
Yes, you do wind up. And I've seen people riding and I've seen joggers running down those ramps, which have no sidewalk on them.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
No.
Those are just for cars.
That's a ramp of death right there.
Yeah, I wouldn't try that.
That's almost as bad as those ramps that have no, what do you call it? The lane to enter traffic on the Kennedy leading into the Dan Ryan.
you know, where they're just like coming off of, whether it's Washington.
The suicide ramps.
Thank you. These are suicide ramps that we have over here on Lower Wacker and all of the streets. South Water, Stetson. I think there's an upper and lower Stetson. It's just surreal. Paul Farvar joins us in studio. Do you feel that you have mastered the lower and upper Wackers?
No, not at all.
No.
I get lost all the time there.
Yeah.
It's hard. And I rely so much on Waze that it doesn't work down there. And then you have to like go back to your old skills. And I never know north, south.
Oh, direction. So. I don't either.
It gets me messed up.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about. The Waze is installing beacons all along those routes so that people will be able to find their way. But that is the truth, though, is that we also have become so reliant on GPS that our ability to know directions. Could you even read a compass if you were someone trapped in the middle of Chicago somewhere and gave you
a compass? In Chicago, I can because it's easy because you just know where. I always go by, okay, the Lake Michigan is east, so I'll just go off that. But when I go to, do you have this problem too, Patty? When you go into LA, everything gets confused because I always think of the water,
right?
And it's the exact opposite.
But there it's west.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that like, I'm like, oh, it's that way. And then I'm going the wrong way.
No, I have no internal compass anymore. If I'm in Chicago, you're right. I know where I am. And but when we were in London and in Wales, and actually Dublin, well, and why would it be any different in any one of those three cities? Dublin, Cardiff, and London. Yes, we were lost repeatedly. We would be walking for 6 blocks out of our way, which would be fine because you're in a city exploring. But one, you don't know if you're in a bad neighborhood. Two, it was rainy. Three, we had a wheelchair. Declan's wheelchair were popping out because we were on cobblestones. Yeah.
By the way, try that with no map.
Yeah,
because you don't want to pay for overseas phone service.
Well, and here was the thing. I just got my bill and it wasn't too bad. I ended up paying about $30 to use my phone once in a while I was in London, which to me was worth it for the situations that I needed it. But I still couldn't use GPS because I had to be on someone's Wi-Fi in order to even be able to use that.
Although I will say they did have a lot of Wi-Fi.
Yes, there was
Wi-Fi in the buses.
Yes.
It was amazing.
It was. I was getting lost a lot. Jen, do you travel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
Ditto.
Yeah, the buses, the trains, for the most part, have Wi-Fi. Yeah. I don't know if Jen has a situation. Do you travel? Get a chance to figure out if your internal compass works?
So I don't travel a lot, but I always say if people, you know, want to do that whole what's your superpower thing, is that I can get myself anywhere.
Oh, I think we need to test this superpower out.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry to bother you.
No, and if I see it once, I know where I'm going to go back to. And it was something that was really beneficial in high school when I'd go out with my friends and stuff because nobody ever knew where the heck they were going. And I was always the one that got us home on time.
I think this is an interesting development here. I think that Jen DeSalvo has brought up something. I think that we should make videos of demonstrating our superpowers. I believe that my superpower is parallel parking.
Awesome.
I'm a good parallel park. I judge people by that.
Yeah. Oh,
what about on the left side, though?
Either side. By the way, people right now are going, why would you park on the left side? One-way streets.
One-way streets, yeah. Those are the ones I screw up on. But on the right, I can do it all the time in one time.
So parallel parking is amazing. And the fact that you can do that is fantastic. I have a neighbor who's been living in the city for, I don't know, 5-10 years. And she still parks about a foot off of the curb. Which is actually illegal. You can't park 12 inches off the curb.
No, you're parking in the street at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. My husband will, because we can see, when I pull up, my husband will call me. He's like, why are you parking so far away from the curb? Because if I'm not parallel parking and I can just pull in, I actually don't park as well. If it's, wide open, I just misjudge how far away I am from the curb. And the back end is sometimes sticking out too far because I just nosedive in.
You can always tell who's from the suburbs when they're parallel parking.
Oh.
And I live in Lincoln Park, so you'd be like, oh, you just got here from Elgin. That's cute.
I had a roommate in college, let's call her Jocelyn, and she could not parallel park to save her life, or my life for that matter. At one point, she tried back and forth 12 times, and finally go, Jocelyn, you got to get out of the car. I got to park this car for you. I can't take it anymore.
Well, my parents can't either. They're older too, but they can't parallel park. So I'll just get frustrated because they live in the suburbs all the way.
Yeah, they don't know how to parallel park. Do you have a superpower besides making gazpacho?
Yeah.
I mean, that counts. Oh, well, speaking of which, I think I want you and my mom to go head to head on making gazpacho.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Well, I can't go against a mom. Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I feel very confident in both your skills.
Yeah, and she'd obliterate me.
It's a lot of...
I'd be round one. KO, man.
Yeah. Are you working on Monday?
I am, yes.
Can you bring in some gazpacho?
Oh, God. Yes, I can.
My mom goes, oh, I can go to the farmer's market.
Oh, my God. See, now I'm going to be like, Mom, bring me more tomatoes.
I've never been to the... It's on my bucket list to go to the farmer's market.
Let's go.
There's like a million everywhere.
Yeah, but the real one. I don't want... The one
what
in
do you
the
mean
Daily,
the real one?
Well, the one at Daly Center, you can't really get like
there's
prepared
ones
food.
Everywhere.
Yeah. The MCA has one, I think, on Tuesdays at 7 a.m.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. They're always
there's
like
one
really
on
early in the
Sunday
morning.
Sunday in Lincoln Park. No, Thursdays.
There's
Thursday
one on
night in Lincoln Square.
That
there's
one's a good
Saturday
one.
Saturday in Lincoln Park, but it ends at like 11 or something.
Yeah.
It's really early.
So this goes back to how I started the show. If there's something you want to do that's summer related, TikTok, my friend. TikTok. Yeah. Get that done.
You've only got
although there is the year-round
months.
One in Lincoln Park.
There's a what one?
There's a year-round
one. It goes
one.
Till October.
Oh, there you go.
Right. No, and then it moves inside.
Oh.
Wait. That one I heard is really good because you can get prepared like foods and they're healthy and stuff, right?
Where is this at?
It's on...
over by the zoo.
Yeah, it's on across from the Hotel Lincoln.
So I see it outside, but where do they move it inside?
Oh.
There's,
I think it's at McDonald's
it's
on Fullerton.
Yeah, it's in the McDonald's.
You know what I think? I think that, one, Paul, you guys got to get that done. But secondly, they should have a farmer's market on Lower Wacker. More after this on 720 WGN.
Waze is installing more than 400 beacons. They're going to be installed every 100 feet in the lower streets of the underworld. Wouldn't you say the underworld? I know that sounds a little bit dark and scary, doesn't it, Paul?
But well, it is dark and scary there sometimes.
It's pretty accurate on the underworld. Well, that's where they shot parts of Dark Knight.
Yeah.
So a lot of those chase scenes. What?
I saw that movie. That's one of the only movies I've seen that you're supposed to see.
I thought you were going to have like a story
about
when they were shooting
those scenes.
No, I was
excited. I actually liked that movie. Well, they filmed it at the building I was working at the time.
They filmed a lot of that in Chicago. We were all very sad when the next movie was not, when Nolan chose not to use Chicago as the location. Oh, we have, come on. I want this challenge. I want to learn how to do this. Is this Trucker Rich?
Yes, it's me.
Hey.
Hi, Patty. Love the show. I listen to you all the time. Actually, I drive at night now. I work for the Big Brown division of trucking. So
okay.
I'm a night shift. But I used to work for a grocery outfit back in the day, and I used to deliver to the small grocery stores that were independent grocery stores in Chicago.
Right.
And I used to have a 40-foot semi, and I used to have to parallel park right up against the curb with a semi in traffic.
Wow.
It was fun.
I want to learn how to do that.
Well, it was, you know what? It comes natural to you after a while. You know, I used to have to get it right up against the curb too, because you know, you couldn't hang out in the street and everything. And then we used to work out of the side door, so we had to be as close to the curb as possible, so I could hand everything off to the people that were taking the stuff in. So it was fun. it was a challenge.
No kidding.
Yeah, well, I had to do it on the left side, too, because sometimes I'd be on a one-way street, you know, and then I'd have to parallel park. And then I'd have cars in front of me, cars in back of me. I'd have people out there watching to help me to get in there and everything, especially in the back there. But it was a challenge, that's for sure.
Yeah, because I had to imagine. Well,
how many times did you have to do it to get it right?
Yeah, how long did it take for you to perfect that?
Actually, I got pretty good at it. I'd do it in one swing, and if I had to pull up and do it again, I got aggravated at myself.
No, but how long was it? How many times?
The practicing.
The first, how many few times? Where you're like, okay, like 10 times, 20 times?
I'd say probably 3 or 4, you know.
Okay.
It's funny, you know, some people can get this right away. You know, I've got truck drivers that still can't back in. They've been doing it for 20 years and they still can't, you know, friends of mine, they're in the business and they still can't back a tractor trailer in. It drives me crazy, you know, and I'm watching them. You know, but it's, you know what it's like? It's like playing pool, you know, where you play the angles and stuff like that.
Right.
And you just, after a while, you just figure out how the angles are and how much to start turn the wheel and get
think.
It to
you
where you need
you
it to
would.
Go.
Pardon? Some people never learn the angles. And
No. That's why some people probably can't parallel park for the life of them.
No,
you know, so.
No. Some people can parallel park and just don't understand pool. It's two different things.
I'm sorry, I misheard you there.
Well, pool's about physics. Well, I guess they're both about angles. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, if they're about angles, it's like playing angles, you know. It's like, you know, I kind of figured that the angle part of it out, you know, right away when I first started driving a truck. I've been doing this for 40 years now, so I'm about done. Give me a couple more years.
Man.
I'm ready to get back into my passenger car and never see a truck again. So
hang up that air freshener and get out of the business. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
I think so. I have to ask you, Rich, I saw this on Michigan Avenue today. Traffic downtown was horrendous for various reasons. One, it was obviously rush hour, but then the Bears were playing and all kinds of things going on. And I saw a big yellow truck, no company name on it. It wasn't a semi, but it was bigger than like the U-Hauls you can rent. And this guy, you could tell, I mean, just he had pulled into the box and then the light changed and he just stayed there, right? He couldn't get through the intersection. So now he's blocking all of the northbound traffic on Michigan Avenue. Finally gets a chance to pull forward and then stops and block because all the pedestrians were crossing and now blocks all. I mean, it was, I just watched him just destroy people's ability to move. Because it seemed to me as though that looked like more of a rental truck, like a big rental truck. Don't you feel as though there should be a little more qualification for renting a U-Haul?
Especially in downtown.
Yes. You know, I mean, be honest with you, I think there's some people out there that are driving semis that shouldn't be driving them, you know, but...
There are people driving Jettas that shouldn't be out there. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, the great thing about those rentals is when you see them going down Lakeshore Drive because they have no clue they can't be on Lakeshore Drive.
Yes. Ah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the over-the-road truckers from out of town that don't know some of where the low viaducts are, you know, and then they'll get stuck under a viaduct.
North Avenue.
Irving Park Road, right over by Nick D's apartment.
Always on Fullerton, too. The one on Fullerton, I always see one.
Yeah. I mean, I got to know the viaduct very good. And especially, I used to run into Evanston a lot, and they had a lot of low viaducts in Evanston. And sometimes you'd have to go like 3 miles out of your way just to get to the other side of the tracks to make a delivery, you know. So
that would make you nuts.
Yes, it did. You know, especially when you're trying to make some time, you know.
Did you ever get stuck under a viaduct?
No. I was always smart enough to pay attention to the lines.
You are talented. And does it work if they're not wedged in there too badly? Can they just take the air out of the tire? I mean, like all the tires.
Yeah, that's what they usually do. They'll take the air out of the tires and then help sometimes get them completely flat just to get them down. You know, I mean, but I've seen guys just completely shear off the top of the trailer. They don't even slow down.
No, because I was going to say, they take that viaduct with way too much confidence. That's why they're shearing the top of their trucks off.
It's amazing to me what some people do, you know. I mean, it's just like the road drivers, when you see them, you know, you got to try to stay away from them because most of the time, they have no clue where they're going, you know. That's the ones with the sleeper cabs on them and stuff like that, you know. And you'll see them in the city trying to get around, you know. I feel bad for them, but at the same time, so I used to get frustrated, you know, because I'm trying to get to where I need to go, you know, I just want to get around you, you know, please let me get done.
Well, get where you're going and be safe. It's great to hear from you. Thank you for sharing
your story. Great, Patty. I love your show. I listen to you all the time, so you have a good time.
Thank you so much. Be well. We'll talk to you again soon, Trucker Rich. More in a moment on 720 WGN. The Chicago Fringe Festival has kicked off, running August 30th through September 3rd in Jefferson Park. You can go to chicagofringe.org for tickets and more information. And you can continue to listen to the show because we're talking to some of the folks from Fringe Fest. First, we have, of course, one of the women that I think you've been on my show now 3 years to talk about this incredible event.
That's true. You
came from Milwaukee, if I recall correctly.
I am from Milwaukee.
Yes, and
good memory.
Look at James. He's like, did I put it on the bio? No, I don't. Yes, it says Milwaukee Repertory Theater, but I hadn't even looked down yet. That is Ann Cawley, who has worked as a volunteer coordinator for the first five festivals. And so, when you're not obsessing about this, you are the director of development and communication at Arts of Life. What's Arts of Life, first of all?
Arts of Life is a studio for artists with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We have two studios and support 60 artists.
That's wonderful. Because, I saw this on a wall. My son is receiving physical therapy where he's at hospital, and there's a big sign that says, "The soul is the first thing to move." And there's something wonderful about that. So in whatever way it expresses, because we think of people with challenges as being less than, and sometimes we don't realize that they are more than.
Totally.
And sometimes enough for. I don't know.
Yeah.
So tell us about this year's festival. What are you excited about?
Oh my gosh. So we just came from the preview party, which kicks off the festival. And a lot of the artists came and did 3-minute previews. And I have to say, I'm really excited about the lineup this year. There was a wide variety as always, but really creative, weird, funky stuff that I was really, really excited about. I want to see them all.
Well, that's wonderful. Before we continue, I did need to make sure that I check in with my friend Trucker Rich, because we were talking to another Trucker Rich, and Trucker Rich wants to make sure I was not confused, Trucker Rich.
I was confused.
I knew that you're Trucker Rich and a good friend of Dr. Yep. Dingman's, and that was another Trucker
Rich. I'm the original Trucker Rich.
Exactly, of course, that big booming voice. Can you also parallel park a semi? Like nobody's business.
Oh yeah. Well, like nobody's business, but I haven't had to for a while. But
that's good.
Thing about the overpasses is that, like, if they're marked 13-10, that was when they originally built the road. And when they repave them, they'll grind off about an inch and throw 4 inches of asphalt on it, and not change the signs.
Yep, exactly. So the pavement gets higher and higher, and the viaduct stays where it is, and they don't change the height signs. Yep. Gotta be careful, Trucker Rich.
Yeah, I wish I was still working for the old company I did, because I'd make arrangements to have a ride with me, because I used to haul oversized loads. And if you want to experience fun, try driving from Roosevelt Road all the way out west to the lake when we built Soldier Field with something that's 15 foot wide.
Yeah. No, I've seen some of those extra wide loads, and I just like, you know, I always think, you know, I'm going to get off at this exit and just not be near this truck anymore. I'm actually going to go the other way around the planet to avoid being behind this truck right now. I'm going to go the other way.
Yeah, well, no, you follow the wide loads, because they'll knock everything out of the way for you.
I'm always afraid it's going to fall off, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got them chained pretty good when we did. They wouldn't fall off. But
fair enough. Well, the longest, you do. I don't trust everybody else.
Right. Well, the longest load I've ever pulled was bumper to bumper, 174 feet long.
Oh, my God. What was that?
A bridge.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at like the bridges, overpasses, like on the toll roads where they cross like 4 lanes and it's just one piece till it gets to the middle, that's what we were hauling.
That's crazy.
And we'd have them on, the trailers would steer in the back end that we could steer from the cab. So we could drive down the road sideways, block 4 lanes of traffic if we needed to.
Sure, why not? It's progress. You know? It's all part of, you know, it's part of building the cities. That's all.
Yep.
We'll be
turn on the left turn signal and put the trailer in the left lane and tractor in the right lane, and we never had problems making corners.
No kidding. So, well, be careful out there, my friend. It's good to hear your voice.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, good to hear you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I'm his co-pilot sometimes. No.
I want to have a contest for the Trucker Riches in 2019 where they can do an extra wide load, do parallel parking section. Mm-hmm. It'll just be like a triathlon of trucking.
Well, you could pitch that to like one of the Discovery Channel or something. Yeah. Always
who's
for
the real
like
trucker?
That.
Who's the Trucker Rich of the year? It's competition between the two Trucker Riches.
You know what's great about Fringe Festival? It's not a competition.
No.
It is a festival of somebody. See how I bring it back? Uh-huh. See what I did there, Anne? Everyone's like, wow, was she coming back to
Festival
us? I swear I'm coming
fun.
Back. Well, you were just saying, you were talking about how surprised you were about the eclectic and wide range of performances that people can enjoy at Chicago mm-hmm. Fringe. And I was blown away by the process, because I watched it on Facebook Live when you do the drawing. You have these submissions. So is there any vetting at all of what people are submitting?
No, so we're uncensored and unjuried.
Right.
We do use sub-lotteries, so we get the right mix. So
right.
we ultimately are selecting half local, half non-local.
Okay.
And at least 25% of our shows are diverse based on race, age, ability, so that we are sure that we're not having a festival just of a whole lot of 30-something white people.
White guys?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, because I submitted, and apparently the...
That's why you were watching.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, oh, let's see if I get it. But the other thing is that you can also, I mean, if you are striving to make sure that there are family-friendly shows. So if year now, because we've gone through and done the New Year's Eve show with the family-friendly show, we can submit for Fringe Fest next year as a kids show as well.
Just kids saying. Show, yes.
We did Chicken Candy from Chairs with kids. It was like the Bozo.
Totally.
Yeah.
No, don't. We don't. No. It's totally different than Bozo Buckets.
I'm sorry. But the just
there's
because the buckets
stand.
Are the Bozo Buckets. Anyway, we're not trying to get
a Fringe show.
Yeah. It was a very different, very different.
It is. It is an incredible range of themes. Everything from dark, you know, dark dramas to, I'm guessing, dark comedies, and then light comedies, and the bizarre, and the surreal, and the honest, the authentic. It just sounds like an incredible collection of performers
yeah, year,
and performances.
This year we have hypnotism, we have burlesque, we have storytelling, dance, musicals, and everything in between. It's really exciting.
Some of this just looks amazing. There's Thread and Bone, where memory meets a sewing machine. It's a solo work exploring the intimate patchwork of love, family, loss, and survival, which just sounds lovely.
Yeah.
And of course, we have in studio with us, we have the director and developer of I Killed the Cow, Leah. How do I say your last name before?
Squillace.
Yes. You know what? I am so glad I stepped back. I wasn't even going to be close.
You wouldn't believe some of the guesses I get, so I'm sure you'd be closer than many.
Has anyone ever nailed it out of the gate?
Most Italians do.
They
it's
do.
A pretty Italian name.
Squillace?
They recognize one another.
That is that's intense. And Larissa's like, go ahead, say Martin. Larissa Martin.
Say Martin.
Martin. Well, with the E-N, it's got to be Martin.
So it's German, so that's why, but I've just Americanized it, Martin. Call me Martin.
Martin.
It's fine. But you can call me Martin.
Hi, Martin.
Hi, Martin.
Hey, Larissa, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are
Pleasure,
yourself, Patty?
I'm very well, thank you. Pleasure to have you both in the studio. So you have written and developed this as well.
Yes, I'm the performer of it, yep.
Okay, so
it's a solo show.
Another solo show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us what What are the themes? What's the story in I Killed the Cow?
Totally. So it's a show that uses metaphor and humor mm-hmm. to talk about sexual assault and to open up that dialogue. And so we use the metaphor of the cow, of how the cow is consumed in our society, to compare it to how the female is consumed in our society. And we essentially, in developing the show and me having the impetus to write the show, I knew that I wanted to make the conversation about sexual assault just more digestible. And pun entirely intended.
Sure.
And that I felt I, as a survivor, was not able to talk about it openly and wanted that desperately. And so that's where the origin of the show came about. And we've been developing it ever since and now performing it for Fringe Festival. So it's pretty great.
And it's interesting, too, because there is that phrase, you know, why don't give the milk away for free,
mm-hmm.
right? Make them buy the cow,
it's
basically.
It's crazy about the collective conscious of women and that this is all just so inherently in so many women. Talking about Fringe as well, there was another show tonight that had some very similar themes as well, and a woman came out for viewers listening. I'm wearing a cheetah jacket currently, part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another woman tonight who came on in a tiger jacket and this cheetah shirt who was talking about some similar themes, and it was kind of... her show is called...
I know, I saw it a minute ago.
Consume Me. It's called Consume Me.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But literally, my mouth dropped when I saw it. I was like, this is amazing, just the collective conscious of women in general
A lot of parallel thinking as we start to be able to feel comfortable. And I don't even know if comfortable is the right way to put it, but there's more space now to say things.
Totally.
And we're still going to get a backlash about it, but more people are going, again, there's a reason why there's a movement called Me Too.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we're making the space.
You have to keep making that space. And you created some controversy last year. We don't have to rehash that. Not you created. Because you don't, there's no juried selection because it is a drawing. Is there anything this year that has caught the attention of the community of Jefferson Park? Because they do like to show up. And as I live in the wonderful 45th Ward. Is that right? Yeah, 45th mm-hmm. Ward. The people like to show up and tell you what they think. Have you had any?
So far, we haven't had many protests this year. We'll see what happens. What we say is that we're putting the power in the hands of the audience. So you read the show descriptions, you come to the preview party, you engage with the artists, you talk to other people who are seeing shows, and figure out what interests you. You are making the decision. We offer you all of the options really imaginable.
And when I say people like to voice their opinions, what's great about that, the balance to it, and why this is possible is the incredible support you have from the community, and that is whether it's the businesses in the area, even the alderman. I know that the state rep loves the Fringe Fest. Robert Martwick,
he loves it so much that he in fact is hosting us while we're in town for the show.
We are currently staying in John Arena's basement.
That's right.
Are you really?
We are Shout out to John if you're listening. Thank you for your hospitality.
He said he would.
That's great. Jill and John Arena are big supporters of the arts and of developing the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love being in Jefferson Park. It is, there are protests, but there's a lot of support and a lot
that
of
was
community
last
building. Yeah.
Well, and I also, and there was also an idea, like, did he kind of prime the pump a little bit, the guy who did the show?
So it was a provocative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have to, but yes, Paul, what were you saying, Paul?
No, I just was looking at the content warnings. There were different ratings, and there's one that says V, and there's percentage, and then there's S. What do all those mean?
Ooh.
There's all kinds of
content warning
warnings.
Not available. What if it's not even available for content? There's AL, right? What's the percentage?
There are all kinds of
Is there a
cool
chart
signs.
For this?
There is a chart, and I can't remember offhand, but it's the artists who describe their shows and they pick the warnings. So it is all
V exclamation like, point N.
So they're not just random emojis as well. Okay, that's good.
A, yeah. So here's about what the material. Yeah, A is for drinking. Yes, go ahead.
D, drugs. E is lighting effects.
Strobe background. Oh,
V is violence, L, language, and nudity. The percentage is sexual content.
Oh.
Oh.
And loud noises. Oh, and there might be
loud noises.
There might be smoking. Well, that's an interesting point because there are people who don't.
Sensitive to smoking.
They're sensitive. Not only that, but there was a lot of debate about because you can't smoke indoors in public spaces.
Right.
Unless it's a performance, which comedians loved. They would say when that first was passed in Chicago, they would mock the audience. I think Tom Rhodes did this a long time ago. He'd make fun of the audience for not being able to smoke by pulling out a cigarette. It's. But the thing about Fringe Fest is you're bringing people from all over. Are you getting what's the farthest that you have folks traveling from?
This year we have someone coming from France.
Oh, hello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, because when you sign up for a festival, I didn't realize this until I submitted for Fringe Fest. Then you sort of get the entire list of festivals around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You're sort of locked in and you can kind of learn about what the dates are, what the submission process is.
And these ladies have been traveling part of the Fringe circuit. I mean, there are now fringes across the world. You could spend your whole life doing it.
Oh, and there are people who do, yeah. And I've met many a person who does. So we just came from Boulder Fringe, and then before that, Minnesota Fringe, and we're not done yet. So we go to Scranton Fringe after this, and then we go to, it's not a Fringe festival, but it's Sarah Solo Festival in Sarasota. It's a curated solo festival down there. So yeah. So
my parents are there.
Your parents are in Sarasota?
Invited to the show.
Yeah.
I think it's right down their alley.
They'll be like, what does the percentage sign mean?
Leah, where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and
they mutilate your last name down there.
Yeah, they absolutely
There's no way.
Do.
What kind of nickname did you get?
Squirrel was my nickname in high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. That was a solid one. But loved it and decided at the end of high school it was time to get out. And fortunately, traveled to the University of Michigan where I met Larissa and where this piece was even born.
Wow.
But we started working on it together our senior year of undergrad. And it has just grown and reshaped and blossomed from there.
It is on a college campus that there is a sort of new, because you're also reinventing yourself. You're leaving home. Mm-hmm. You get to not be that awkward person, or maybe you are now become awkward, whatever that sort of new embodiment of who you are on a campus. And then you layer in whether it's, trying to belong to a group or want to fit in, or, if you're drinking or hanging out at parties or, different social groups that just weren't the same in high school. Where are you from originally, Larissa?
San Francisco.
And so you went to
San Francisco, then Jersey, then Michigan, now New York, a bit all over the place, coast. I'm first generation here, so I'm German, and so my parents moved here. And so they just kind of hopped around America because they wanted to see America, and then, yeah.
And do they, with the way they raised you and maybe the conversations that you had with them, when it comes to sexuality and the way you talk about women are consumed, are there differences in what their experiences were in Germany?
Totally different. Mm-hmm. It's far more open. And so I would have very open conversations at a very young age with my mom about sex and about sexuality and what that means. And it was something that she was very adamant about just having that open dialogue and not making it awkward. And I think her choice to not make it awkward is what did not make it awkward.
Right.
She was just like, I am your mom and you are a 13-year-old, but you need to know about this. So, hey, this is what it is.
Wow.
And I'm so lucky that that was my upbringing. And I think that's a large part of why this is something that I'm now so passionate about and want to actually be performing and feel so comfortable to be performing and to be writing about and to be talking about. And I wish that for many other person.
I agree. My parents didn't make it awkward. They just ignored it.
So but that's kind of what makes it
same
awkward.
Boat.
Yeah.
Same way?
Said I'm in that same boat.
Paul?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the conversation.
Yeah.
Me too.
Call you from Sarasota?
No, my parents moved there, but I grew up in the suburbs.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we had no conversations about that. No. No conversations.
One day I will.
Me too.
It's not too late.
It's never too late.
I don't think so.
Let's talk more with our guests. We are talking about Fringe Fest, which is running now through September 3rd. You can go to chicagofringe.org for more information about tickets and all the shows. You can learn about, you know, there's something for everyone. You will not be disappointed. I've been to many of the shows with Fringe Fest, and it's incredible. Right there in Jefferson Park. More when we come back on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea is off through Labor Day. More when we come back. Chicago Fringe Festival is underway in Jefferson Park with performances at the Congressional Church of Jefferson Park, the Gift Theater, Fringe Central at Westons. Jefferson, wait, you guys are doing stuff at Westons too?
Yeah, they're our main box office in Fringe Central.
I love Westons. It's a new coffee shop in which is where you did the Facebook Live drawing of the
festival.
That's
right, and they've got it all from breakfast to drinks at night. They have everything you could want.
Such a great new joint.
Yeah.
I walked by and I got weepy. I did a Facebook Live video in front of Weston's. I'm like, what is this magical place that just came into my neighborhood?
Everyone at every past festival in Jefferson Park, they'd say, but where do we get coffee?
Yeah.
And now?
Asked and answered. Yeah. Done. Performances are also at the Jefferson Playhouse and at Copernicus Center. What's going to be at Copernicus Center?
That's
big...
where our preview was.
Oh, that's where the preview was. Sorry. Never mind. Disregard.
They have a little festival, celebrating Polish culture.
So when you say that Weston's is Fringe Central, do people go buy their tickets there?
Buy their tickets, and it's we like to have a selected space where we encourage everyone to go and hang out. One of the things that I love most about Fringe is that, you know, you don't have to wait at the stage door to hope to maybe see the person that you just saw perform. Everyone is hanging out together and talking about the show that they just saw. Mm-hmm. And continuing the conversation. So it's a really, that's the space that we want people to be doing that.
It's really fun. How have you liked the space that you're going to be performing in? Which one did you get?
We're performing in the Playhouse in Jefferson Park.
Oh, that's very fun.
Yeah. It's a good one, yeah.
I saw Will Durst perform there a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
One of my favorite comedians. And it is a great space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. And we also, the show is quite intimate in the nature of the show. And so it's also great. We have not been able to utilize how deep the stage goes because it goes quite far back. But it's really nice. Once you pull it forward, it is a very intimate space. So it's nice that it can go in both ways, that it can be this really intense, deep, dark space, but can also pull forward and be very intimate in a very personal interaction space. So it's pretty cool.
I love that. And Leah, what's been your experience? What have you enjoyed about participating in not just in this Fringe Festival, but other ones?
Yeah, what I found phenomenal about all the Fringes and tonight at the preview party, it proved to be true for Chicago as well. Not that I expected anything less. But our show and specifically has been created to try to promote some conversations that we feel have been difficult in our lives or maybe have been difficult culturally. So exactly what you just said, I think the fact that we walk out of our show and then we go immediately to someone else's and then we're sitting next to the same audience members who were just in our show and then they sit down and start a conversation with us, it's phenomenal. It's an opportunity for us to learn from the audience just as much as we hope that we're able to provoke something in them. So I think that's what I valued about the other Fringes we've been to, and I don't expect Chicago to be any different.
That's wonderful. And Anne, what do you want people to know before we go about the Fringe Festival? What are some of the things? How can they pick a show? Because there's so many. Maybe people get overwhelmed by what should I choose?
Definitely. So we're hopefully going to be uploading videos from the preview party so that people can see the little snippets. But you can kind of slice and dice the festival on our website. You can sort by date, by genre, by type, by age. So if no matter what you're looking for, it'll be easy for you to pick a show that you're going to like. I did want to emphasize again that while all of our shows are uncensored and unjuried, we do have a family Fringe that is guaranteed to be family friendly. And that's kicking off on Saturday and Sunday. We have a balloon show. We've got free workshops, musical theater, and other types of workshops that kids of all ages can come and hang out and express, learn how to express themselves and find a space that's built just for them. And really, I encourage you to come and maybe come with one show in mind or two and then talk with people and see what what grabs you, because I know that oftentimes I'll just pop into a venue not even knowing what's playing in there, and I'll see one of my favorite shows of the year. So it can really sneak up on you, and you can see amazing stuff.
Well, I wish you all the very best, and I want to remind everybody there are ways to buy your tickets. To you can go to chicagofringe.org. You can also go to Fringe Central Box Office, which is located at 4872 North Milwaukee Avenue, which is the aforementioned Weston's Coffee and Tap, and that's Thursday and Friday from 6 to 9, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday from noon to 9. Ticket sales end 1 hour before showtime at Fringe Central, and cash and credit cards are also accepted at all venues starting half an hour before each show. These are great options for people because it might be, you know, they're not quite sure, and but if you
totally. These are,
you've got everyone covered.
I'm going to throw out one more thing.
Yes.
On Saturday night, we're doing a special late night cabaret.
Ooh.
And you have to bring your own flashlights. So the audience is lighting up the stage.
And we'll be performing in it as well,
so
but something
you don't
entirely
have,
different.
Yeah.
This is that's I'm fascinated. Paul, that sounds like an idea for a comedy show too.
10 p.m. on Saturday. Patty, do you want to join? Do you want to perform? I'll give you 5 minutes.
No, I'm.
Do it.
Thank you, though.
Come
but this, I mean, because for stand up comedy, you know what I would do? I would let people, if they don't like the comic, they start turning off their flashlights. Like that's your, like, you know how
but
you.
When
everyone
would you get
starts,
off the stage? You'd see a light
when you're in complete darkness.
Oh.
When you're in complete darkness, you're done.
That's a good idea.
The X Factor.
That's a different. That's
shows.
A different. I know you're not doing that.
I love that though.
Yeah, there's something.
It's the opposite, because usually we get a flashlight to tell us to wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, you. An orange flash, like,
yeah,
one of these
different color.
Yeah, like a landing cone, right. Or something. Maybe it's the other way. There's something here. Wait, there's, I feel like there's something here. Maybe you start in the darkness. It's like The Voice, you know how the chairs spin around.
Sure.
Yeah. And as people like the material you're doing, they turn their flashlights on.
Well, I like
this
what they
confusing.
Do in Michigan. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you about that after the news, though. We can talk about the what I learned they did in Grand Rapids.
Oh no, that sounds scary.
It's
Grand
very
Rapids
scary.
Can be very, very scary. So Fringe Fest, so that sounds great. The cabaret is at 10 p.m. which theater?
On Saturday at the Congregational Church.
At the Congregational Church. Bring your own flashlight.
Bring
so are people going to use their cell phones, though?
They could.
That's, yeah, but that it'd be more
fun. But the
fun
power, to, yeah, it's better to have a big old-fashioned.
It'd be fun. Bring your lanterns.
Exactly.
I'd be curious to see what kind of flashlights.
I have a headlight. I can blend someone. Anyone who's listening wants a headlight. I've got one in my car. You can have it.
A headlight?
Yeah. One of those headlights that you put, like, a headlamp headlight.
Like for spelunking.
That yeah, that straps over your head, yeah.
For cave diving.
I'm the only one. Wait,
for cave diving, for all my adventurous sports that I do,
yeah,
you know.
Apparently.
For my paragliding in the dark. It's all normal.
Road tripping to
Road
fringes.
Tripping to fringes.
What's a wonderful.
It's my life.
Well, I love the work that you guys are doing. Have a great time at Fringe. Go to chicagofringe.org for more information, and we look forward to checking in with you again. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis playing the role. No, it's not Paul. Paul, you're not playing the role of Andrea. Andrea is Andrea, and she's on vacation through
Labor Day. I could play Andrea.
She'll be back.
We went to the University of Illinois.
That's
same.
True. We all were.
We all did.
Did you see the story about how I believe it is 2020
tuition?
Tuition will be free,
yeah,
if you meet a certain income requirement.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah,
that is
in state only.
In state. Well, they were, and that was the issue. Is that they, you know, part of the budget crisis was squeezing the University of Illinois and their ability to attract, you know, top students and professors. Mm-hmm. So you know they're trying to find that balance of attracting the brightest and, you know, best students in Illinois.
It's crazy, yeah. There's kind of like territorialism in terms of why does it have to be the state, but I understand it being an Illinoisian.
Illinoisian. What's wrong with
it's
you?
It's late.
You did not.
It's late.
It
I've
is.
Been up all day.
Well, and you came in last minute, so I appreciate
that.
That's
okay.
That.
I loved it.
Well, I just wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. One, did you watch the funeral for John McCain?
I watched parts of it, yeah.
So do you know the music? So the in music, the processional music was coming into the venue was Amazing Grace, which was beautiful. And there was some great music. Do you know what his the last song was of his funeral?
I'm going to guess You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones.
See?
Because of the presidential.
Good. It was I Did It My Way by
Frank Sinatra.
So I was wondering about this because he made a lot of the arrangements. He chose who was going to speak,
yeah,
at his funeral. He chose the music.
And who is not to speak.
Correct. But I was wondering, what would be your funeral song? A friend of mine who passed away at a young age had told his girlfriend, like, they would joke around and stuff, and he said, if anything ever happens to me, I want you to play Spirit in the Sky for my funeral.
Oh, that's a good, that's a good song.
So I'm wondering, Michael's like, I don't want to talk about my funeral. Do I have to talk about what my funeral song would be? This is really what we're going to talk about?
You can only pick one song?
12:40 in the morning.
That's kind of a sad thing to talk about, but let's do it. I like it.
But better to know than to, you know, and then we just play something you hated. You know, you play some Green Day at your funeral. Yeah.
We're playing Tub Thumping at Paul's by Chumbawamba. Yes. Can't
that
wait.
Is not allowed. I would go with Under Pressure by David Bowie and Queen. I think it's my favorite song of all time, and there's a lot of stories I have about that song, and it always brought me good stuff, and it talks about love and all kinds of cool stuff.
I like that.
And they're two of my favorite artists. So that's my song. And put this in a capsule for 2024.
Whatever, to be determined at a later date.
Actually, 2024.
I think Ez is hiding. She's like, don't ask me what my funeral song is going to be. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, no. I have like criteria for my funeral.
What? Wait a minute.
In addition, is it choreographed?
Hold on a second.
It's because I have been to not a lot of funerals, but I've been to a few funerals where people are not, in my opinion, dressed how they should be dressed.
Ooh.
Dress code.
There's going to be a dress code at mine. You better dress to the nines, man.
No Teva sandals.
That.
Right?
Oh, wait. Are they a sponsor?
I've seen people wearing, like, jean shorts, kind of ratty jeans. I'm like, come on, man. They're dead. Show them some respect. At least put on some nice pants.
Wow. I like this. So what happens to people who are not appropriately dressed? Will there be someone there?
Down. Are you kidding me?
There's going to
be somebody like, excuse me, no.
Will there be someone, like when you go to a country club and you're not wearing the right thing, they have like blazers, you know?
No,
like,
bouncer. No, you're just going to have to come back.
They have like an earpiece that says, okay, let them in.
I'll have to put someone up.
Dress
like,
code.
You will be the decider.
Can I be the bouncer?
Think of me. But you have to think of, like, what would Esmeralda say?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then also you have to tell that to the person and be like, how dare you show up like that? Do you think that she would be?
And have some clothes ready, too, because there are certain people you want there that maybe didn't understand the dress code and then just give it to them or no?
Huh. No, they better turn back around and get dressed.
Like
there's
how
a
much
time limit. How? What if they came all the way from Elgin?
Time limit, shmime limit. I don't know. If you go to Mexican wakes and stuff, those things are a whole day affair.
Mm-hmm.
Days.
Yeah,
sometimes,
that's true.
Depending.
So outside of the clothing requirement, what's the music? What's the song going to be?
I haven't really thought about it.
Yeah, I think honestly, I love how much thought she's put into the
clothing.
And I think I've told this story before. My father, the week before my father passed away, he was at a funeral and he was mad at one of his friends for showing up as Esmeralda is talking with shorts and like a Hawaiian shirt or something and socks and sandals. And my dad was absolutely appalled. And my dad always, he went everywhere important in a suit and tie. My dad was a very dapper guy. And so when my father passed away, that guy, and I felt like it was kind of snarky, he showed up in a tuxedo. And I thought it was a little over the top. I was like, just suit and tie, dude.
Respect.
Right? Yeah. It was a bit much.
But I can't understand when people do that. I can get when the deceased, maybe, they had this, you know, bubbly personality and they loved red, let's all wear red or whatever. But when people just show up, like, they're running errands and they're like, gonna do a stop by, like,
right.
Oh, and they're dead. Okay, bye.
Like, it was an afterthought. I agree.
Stop by.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I like that.
I have a funeral dress.
Oh.
I know.
See, I haven't thought about that.
Not one I would be buried in. I have a dress that I wear two funerals. Although, I think about it, I think it would look all right in that dress to be buried. Okay, that's a good point, by the way. That was a huge moment of stress for. I did not realize how stressful that was going to be. Because my dad did not tell us what he wanted to wear, because we did have a wake for him.
Oh, yeah.
And we had not picked out we talked about somewhat about his funeral and his wake. But that was because he considered the way he appeared to be so important. We were freaking out picking out his clothing.
Yeah.
My mom and I
would be scared my mom would put me in some like weirdo, sad looking dress.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got to figure. I think I'll tell my husband the black dress that I wear to everybody else's funeral is fine to bury me in or put me in
what?
For the wake. Yeah, it's a black dress. It looks
man,
like a nice...
I would be like, put the best thing I have in my closet.
Oh, I don't know what that is in my closet. Mine's it's like an evening gown that I have that.
Yeah,
I wear
come
for
on, man, you're dead. Let's go.
It's a blue Ralph Lauren.
Yeah, that's like what you gotta wear forever. Come on,
that's true.
You gotta look good.
I don't know. Do they? Now we've gotten down a really dark
yeah,
path.
Yeah, now I put thought into this. And now I'm remembering all that my friends that I've gone to their funerals. I'm like, oh man, he probably wouldn't have liked to wear that. And now I feel bad because I didn't say anything.
I had a friend who passed when I was in high school, and they, I remember they had his headphones on him in his casket, and he was wearing like one of his favorite T-shirts. It was like some band T-shirt. So they kind of dressed him,
how he would want,
yeah, because suit and tie was not his thing at all.
Yeah, my mom and I hadn't dawned on us that we were going to have to make that choice.
What did John McCain wear?
It was draped in an American flag. It was a beautiful ceremony.
Mm-hmm. I saw parts of it.
I thought it was so well done. The guy who spoke first and had been his first chief of staff when he was first in office, I thought some great stories. It's very funny. Joe Biden did. I thought everyone did a great job of speaking. It was so hard to see his daughter, the daughter he had adopted, open. She was the one that did a reading first, and you know she was just trying so hard to keep it together. It was a beautiful ceremony. There's something just so, it's painful and it's beautiful, this expression of respect and love for mm-hmm. somebody. And I thought it was a great service. Let's see what Jeff has to say. Hey, Jeff, we're talking funerals. it's see what happens when Andrea's
good
gone.
Sleep. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry about that, everybody. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
What'd you want to tell us?
I went to my girlfriend's brother-in-law. His funeral. No one was allowed in unless you were wearing a Green Bay shirt.
A
Green Bay Packer jersey.
Oh, wow. See, and how do you let people know that ahead of time? No one goes to a funeral thinking there's that specific of a dress code.
Although somebody has to give you the info to where it is and everything. So
that's true. It was his wife. She put out all the on Facebook, and she put it on people's voicemails. Do not show up if you're not wearing. If you show up, wear a Green Bay Packer shirt.
And how did that? I mean, I'm guessing that looked kind of spectacular for the person that you were honoring.
Well, I wore my Bears jersey.
No, you didn't. Did
yes,
you?
I did.
Oh, how did that go?
I got stared at all day. Everybody there was from Wisconsin.
Well, then how'd you get in?
Yeah.
I kind of had an overcoat on.
But I think, to be fair, because of the rivalry, that's a little bit of a nod to, like, hey, you know, even though we were rivals when it came to football, we loved each other in the end. How's that?
Pretty much, yeah. That was his name was Jerry, and that's how I remember him, football.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that story. That is
sure
interesting.
Thing.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a good night. Sorry for your loss. I also, here's something I've been meaning to, I'm almost hesitant to say this because I keep trying to put it into a short story or a screenplay, but I was driving down Austin in my neighborhood, and there's a funeral home, and I saw people were walking into the funeral home, everyone, in, you know, dressed up and everything, and then there was one guy dressed up carrying a leaf blower. And I thought, what is the story there? Like, I gotta bring Joe. Was he returning it? Was it something they wanted to bury?
He was dressed up to attend the funeral?
Yeah, and he was carrying a leaf blower.
Wasn't working there.
No. He was walking in dressed up with everybody else going into the funeral home.
Were there other people like carrying other products?
No, no rakes, no lawnmowers. Huh. Just one guy carrying a leaf blower. And I thought, does maybe the guy just really like leaf blowing and they're going to bury him with it?
He
or,
borrowed it from
right?
him, and he's like, now's the time, I think, to return it.
It's like, I he feels guilty about not having returned it sooner, and he's just trying to get it off
he's
his
chest.
He's
doing a eulogy with bits, and he's got like a prop.
It was so strange. I just was
a carrot top.
Yeah, it's possible.
That was the weirdest thing.
Another guy had a watermelon, and then it was like Gallagher.
There's a story there. There's a story there, and I haven't figured it out yet, but it was fascinating. And that's the thing about funerals. There are these weird moments. There are beautiful moments. There are things that we can laugh about. It's all about celebrating life, and that's really what I took away from Senator John McCain's funeral today.
I'm reading the biography of Robin Williams, and they talked about his funeral, mm-hmm. where how it was like really amazing, and all the people that spoke, and how it was totally private. You weren't allowed to bring a camera. No cameras were allowed, and the people that were in talked about it. It was really funny. It was consistent with Robin Williams.
That's great. I love that. More when we come back. Tell me something good. I know that we got a little bit off the path here, but tell me something good when we come back on 720 WGN. We'll make you happy. I have to tell you, the stunningly beautiful day we enjoyed in Chicago today has made me happy for quite some time. I went for a lot of walks today, taking some breaks. I was able to take Declan out of the hospital and walk with him in the sunshine and let him get a breeze on his face. He's perking up a little bit and continues to recover, but he is in the hospital for some time. There were some complications, and he is struggling to recover. But I think that the sunshine really helped him and helped me as well. So we went for a walk today, and I found I was telling Michael that I'm finding restaurants in the area that I'm falling in love with. So just kind of we're in the loop. So we're sort of finding places that I had never heard of before. Michael, what are you happy about tonight?
It's been a really great week. It's good to be here. I can't believe it's already Friday. I will be hosting for Dave Plyer this upcoming Saturday going into Sunday morning. So I'm going to have a lot of fun on air. So everyone tune into that.
Awesome.
And that's my good thing. That's what's making me happy these days.
That is really good stuff. How about you, Ez? Anything good you want to tell us? You don't have to, you know. I know I feel like I feel bad.
I'm actually, this is a good thing. I'm starting a Whole 30, another round of Whole 30 for September. So Saturday, tomorrow Saturday is the day one of eating better.
And you're really good about sticking to that. Like, if I say I tried the Whole 30, and I think I did like the whole 16 and a half.
Yeah.
And with some gaps. But I would tell her I'd put almond milk in my coffee. She's like, are you sure that didn't have any of the things that you had? So I'm like,
I get a little, because it's almost a thing of, it's almost like a game.
It's a purity thing.
I see it as a game, like of, we got to do it this way. And, you know, how can I not eat the things that they're talking about or whatever that they
it's hard
that you can't
right
I know yeah
it's a challenge no
and yeah it, and that's what I kind of like, and it's like, all right, well, I gotta go to like five stores.
Well, congratulations on starting, because I know that you'll succeed. You've done it before, and it's a good way to be aware of what you're eating. That's what I
find. It's a nice reset.
Yeah,
especially exactly. Coming into the fall, and
yeah, I could use that. I decided to start working on my summer body for next summer.
Ditto.
I think that was a problem. I waited until about May, and it was probably a little too late. So I'm gonna get started now. I've been walking about 3 miles a day.
That's good. Any time is a good time.
Yeah, exactly. How about you, Paul? Before I go to the break,
just headed to Kenosha to Kenosha Comedy Club tomorrow and Saturday. Looking forward to those shows, and then Appleton, Wisconsin next week with Chris Frangiola. So
that's fun.
Follow me on paulfcomedy.com or follow me on Instagram, Paul Farvar, common spelling.
And find his podcast, Singles Only, on iTunes.
I'm looking forward to recording that tomorrow.
Yeah. More in a moment on 720 WGN.